Okay, North Ends and Colel, Sunday 21st of September 2008, Katalus Elul Tafshin Samachet Shigimun on Tehillim, Chapter Yud Gimel in Tehillim, Shigimun by Gershon Hetner, North Ends and Colel. Okay, last week we went through the whole chapter, and we see the whole chapter is David HaMelech bemoaning problems and very concerned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forgetting him and he's having to make plans for his own survival, and the whole perek, the whole chapter is very much a depressing chapter till we come to the last pasuk, which says Ani b'chastuch avatachti, where he expresses his betachin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that all will be well in the all will come out right in the end. Let's close this door. We did the first and second psukim. Let's just run through them again. L'mnatzech l'smeinu David, a song for the conductor by David. Ad ona Hashem tishkacheni netzach, how long Hashem will you forget me forever? Ad ona tastes benach memeni, how long will you go on hiding your face from me? And let's take it with the next pasuk as well. Ad ona oshes eitzes benafshi, how long will I need to put advice about my life or about my soul, make plans for my own survival? Yogun will above Yomam, there is sadness in my heart during the day. Adono Yorim Ovi Aloy, how long will my enemy be in ascendancy over me? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? And we saw last week how we have these four expressions of Adono, and I mentioned from the Medrash how each of the four corresponds to the four exiles. And how each one corresponds very precisely to each of the four exiles. Okay, we are up to, let's have a look, we are up to, yeah, Tishkachin Inetzach. Oh, so we'll start now, going back to Pasuk Beis, Adonai Hashem Tishkachin Inetzach, how long Hashem will you forget me forever? So our first port of call is a Yalkut Shimoni. But the Yalkut Shimoni tells us that, the Yalkut Shimoni brings in the name of Rabbi Rachya, a pasuk. Amar Rabbi Rachya brings a story about a zokein. I'm not sure if this story is a true story or if it's just a moshul. The story is about a zokin, which implies a Talmud Chacham, who's giving a shir, and he's expounding on the pasuk, Kol almona v'yosom lo sa'anun. You shall not afflict any almona, any widow, nor should you afflict the widow. The widow or the orphan, thank you. Yeah. And he gave a shir on this pasuk. The pasuk is in Parashas Mishpatim. I'll give you a reference. But I don't have it. Okay. Yeah. So he's giving this, he gives a shir on this pasuk, and after the shir, a widow comes up to him and says, can I please have a word with you? And he says, I'm terribly sorry, I can't see you now. Can you come and see me a bit later? And she's very upset about that. She's made an effort to come and see him, and he can't see her now. So she goes away. And then she comes back later and says, okay, I'm here now, could you see me now? And she said to him, you know, she said, you gave a shir on this subject, that not to afflict a widow. She says, I'm a widow, and I've come to see you, and I was relying on the fact that you wouldn't afflict me and that you would see me straight away. But no, having given a shir on that very subject, you now send me packing. You send me away, and I had to take the trouble of coming back to you a second time. So he says, this is exactly how it is with Klal Yisrael. We, here in our pasuk, David HaMelech turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Adono Hashem Tishkachini Netzach, how long will you forget me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And he says, we'll be relying on a pasuk, which is a pasuk earlier in Tehillim, chapter Tes, pasuk Yud Tes, where the pasuk says, Ki lo lo netzach yishachach evyon, the evyon, the poor person will not be forgotten forever. So David HaMelech is saying, I'm relying on that fact that you're not going to forget me, the Evyon, or us, Klal Yisrael, the Evyonim. And yet, You have, and here we have, he questions it. Adon Hashem Tishkach Elinetach, how long will you forget me? He says, it's rather like the Zokin, who gives a shear about not afflicting the widow, and then turn the widow away. So David is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, you're treating me in the same way. I'm relying on the fact that you'll see me being an Evyon. You'll never forget me. And here we see that there are times indeed where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forget, or seems to forget us. That's how David HaMelech reacts. Okay, still in the, sticking to the Yalkut Shimoni, there on this chapter, it's letter number Tofresh Samach, he brings a bit of a conversation between David HaMelech, or Klal Yisrael maybe we should say, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael, or David HaMelech, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adon Hashem Tishkach Elinetach, how long will you forget me? Hashem responds, says, what? I forget you? I don't forget you. Oh, morning, morning. Chapter Yud Gimel Chapter Yud Gimel Chosin Beis. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't forget you. What are you talking about? I've forgotten you. Halo Atem Shachachtem Esi. You are the ones who've forgotten me. Why? Because we have a Pasuk, Shachachu Kel Moshiyom. It says in Tehillim, it's chapter Kuv Vav, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, where the chapter gives a potted history of Klal Yisrael. And there, Shachachu Kel Moshiyom, you, Klal Yisrael, have forgotten God who saved them. Ose Gedolus B'Mitzrayim, the one who did all these great deeds in Egypt. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wait, so what? I haven't forgotten you. You're the ones who have forgotten me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to it. V'chi ani hestarti fonai mikem, and am I the one who's hidden my face from you? V'ana atem hestartim p'nechem emeni. You're the ones who've hidden your face from me. Why? Because we've got a Shalema, we've got another Pasuk. And this Pasuk is... Yirmiyah chapter base. Yeah. Find this Pasuk, it's in Yirmiyah chapter base. And it's Pasuk Kaf Zayin, where the Pasuk says, Omim lo'etz, Klal Yisrael have said about wood, Oviyata, you are our father, you're my father. So we have a desire. V'lo even at yiditoni, and they turn to stone and they say, you're the one who's given birth to us. Kifonu elai oref, they have turned their back of their neck to me, v'lo fonim, and not their face. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what are you talking about? In the Pasuk in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Anotastes v'nechem emeni, how are you going to hide your face from me? So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, I'm not hiding my face from you. You, Klal Yisrael, you're the ones who give your face to me. It's Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Fake base, Pasuk Avzayin. Kifonu elai oref. V'lo fonim, they turn the back of their neck to me and not their face. So you're the ones who give your face from me. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, of course, Yirmiyah, of course, lived long after David, but very often in Midrashim, we will sort of telescope the whole of Tanakh into one historical time frame. I guess it's along the lines of the whole of Torah was given at Har Sinai, although it's very hard for us to understand. Did David have access to the Pesukim in Yirmiyah? Hard to understand. But and Chazal will draw on all Pesukim from all over the place as though it all belongs to one singular time frame. But yeah, it is a bit of a...
It's also possible from David.
Yeah, it's also possible, yes. Yeah, it's also possible. It could have gone that way. Yeah, could be, yeah. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but don't worry, but Olam Hazeh, histati famim mekem. Here in Olam Hazeh, indeed it may appear that I've hidden my face from you. Aval Olam Abo, in Olam Abo, that's not going to be the case. Why? Ki ayin ba'ayin, of course, another pasuk, ki ayin ba'ayin yirubushim Hashem tzion. You'll find this pasuk is in Yeshaya chapter Nun Beis. Let's have a look. Chapter Nun Beis pasuk Ches, where the pasuk says, Kol Tzofayich, the watchman, we did this in Haftarah about 2 weeks ago, Kol Tzofayich nosu kol yachtov, your watchmen, they call out, there's one voice, Yachtov Yaninu, they sing and they rejoice together. What do they say? What's their message? Their announcement is Ki Ayin Ba'ayin Yiru B'Shuv Hashem Tzion. I, one eye to another, will see. Everyone's going to see B'Shuv Hashem Tzion when Hashem returns to Yerushalayim. So it's a message of Geulah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's true, maybe now in Olam Hazeh there's this hest upon him, this hiding on my face. But there's going to come a time it calls it Olam Haba, which sometimes refers to Olam Haba as we know it, but sometimes refers to times of Geula, times of Mashiach, where, don't worry, Ayin Ba'ayin Yiru, there'll be eye to eye contact. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to turn my face from you, and you're going to turn your face away from me. It's Ayin Ba'ayin Yiru, B'Shav Hashem Tzion, there'll be eye contact between us when HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns to Tzion. Oh, good. The Alchemy of Milis on our Pasuk brings a muscle. You get this right? No, sorry, not yet. No, I got that bit wrong. Oh, the Alchemy says, at what period in history is David referring? To which period in history is David referring? When he says, Adon Hashem Tishkechen Yenetzach, you forget me forever, and you've hidden your face from me. What period in history are we talking about? So he says it's a reference to the time when Shaul was chasing David. And David, Nebuch, was reduced to escaping from Eretz Yisrael. Unbelievable. He had to leave Eretz Yisrael, the beloved country, he had to leave Eretz Yisrael. And there we have the Pasuk, where he says, V'im b'nei ha'odom, arurim heim lifnei Hashem, if I'm being chased by man, you'll find this Pasuk is in Shmuel Aleph, chapter Kafrov, Pasuk Yud Test, which actually was a... what's that? Like a peacekeeping force between David and Shaul, where David turns to Shaul and he had an opportunity of killing Shaul and he hadn't killed him and he wanted to demonstrate to Shaul, I have nothing against you whatsoever. And he turns to him and he says, the people who are out to get me, Arurim Heim Lefnei Hashem, Ki Gerishuni Hayom, they have driven me out today. Driven me out of Eretz Yisrael, may his tapeach benachlas Hashem, from having a share in the inheritance of God, Lamer saying, as though they were saying, Lechavod Elohim Achem, go and serve other gods.
Who says this?
David says it to Shaul.
Yes.
And in fact, from this passage, the Gemara Ksubas, the end of Ksubas, if my memory serves me correctly, learned that leaving Eretz Yisrael is tantamount to serving Avodah Zarah. David is not serving Avodah Zarah, but he says, because I've been forced out of Eretz Yisrael, it's as though I've been forced to serve Avodah Zarah. He turns to him, and it's during this incident where David felt chased out of Eretz Yisrael and was really down and depressed and felt very oppressed by Shaul, that this chapter was written about that period in history where he's on the run from Shaul and he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, you've hidden your face from me and you've forgotten all about me forever and so on and so forth. So it's this particular incident. This is how the Alchemy of Milis learns, and others also learn it as well. Yeah. The Alchemy of Milis also quotes a Pasuk in Zechariah. The Pasuk is in Zechariah chapter 9, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Let's take a look at this. Zechariah chapter Zion, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Yeah. About Klal Yisrael not obeying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By him it was, Chasher Korah, when he called, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to Klal Yisrael, Velo Shameu, they never listened. Kein Yikru, so it will be that they will call to Hashem, Velo Eshmon, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will not listen. Omar Hashem Tzvakis, this is what Hashem said. He says, I called to Klal Yisrael many times to tell them to keep Torah and mitzvahs, and they didn't listen to me. Now, the boot's on the other foot, they'll call out to me, and I'm not going to listen to them. And that's what we have in our posture. It's Hest upon him, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, though he's forgotten us, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiding his face from us. Four times Ad Ono for each of the four Goluyos, the four exiles, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's as though I'm not going to listen to you. Why not? Because you haven't been listening to me, as that Pasuk in Zechariah says. A word about this word Ono, not this word Ad Ono, four times. Ad Ono Hashem Tishkachim Yunetzach, how long Hashem will you forget me? So, Rishon Shem Tol Hirsch, as always, all I managed to understand from Rosh Hashanah Tol Hirsch is that little bits that he puts in. I find it such a hard safer to understand. He explains this word honor, very interesting. He says it's the exact same meaning as the word le'am, to wear. In other words, the word aleph nun means wear. Sometimes it's written with a lamed at the beginning, meaning to wear, and sometimes it's written with a locative hey at the end, or not, meaning to wear. Like you have Mitzrayimah to Egypt, so Mitzrayimah with a hey at the end means the same as Le Mitzrayim to Egypt. This is the same thing. On means where. Aleph Nun is where. Le on is another way of saying where to or to where. And here we have ono, which means the same thing, where to. And he says it really is normally used for place and space. Geographical area. Ono, where to a place. That's what a taxi driver might say to you, right? That's in Israel. They say, le'an, where are you going to, right? Where do you only get in, le'an, where are you going to? Likewise, you have the word ono, where to, being a reference to a geographical area. However, in our pasuk, it comes in conjunction with the word ad. Ad ono is no longer next. Ad is an expression of time. And therefore, ad ono, although the word ono normally refers to space, here it refers to time because of the word, because the additional word ad ono, the introductory word ad ono. So it points out that it's a slightly unusual usage of the word ono. Yeah. Now the Malbim on our pasuk speaks about, he says we have two forms of punishment in this pasuk. We have Adon Hashem tishkocheni netzach, how long will you forget me? So that's shichacha, Hashem forgetting about David. And we also have Adon Tas tiras ponecha, how long will you hide your face from me? Test upon him, hiding your face. So the Malbim says we've got two things. We have shichacha, as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forgetting us. Of course Hashem doesn't forget us, but it's as though he does, it seems to us as though he does. And you also have hest upon him, where Hashem will hide his face away from us. So he says they seem almost the same thing. Forgetting about David and hiding his face, Hashem hiding his face from David seem to be synonymous. So he explains that that in actual fact, hest upon him is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu works with an individual as though he's hiding his face. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish him if necessary, and the punishment is going to be constructive because it will eventually, it gives a person a kapara and it can bring a person back to the right path, but the way the punishment is received can leave a person thinking, I've been punished by natural causes. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting himself out of the picture. He is punishing a person, but he's doing it in a manner that the person might think to himself, I've been punished by natural causes, not by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, it's very easy for a person to think that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden in his face, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out of the picture. And it's all part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tests, again, on a person, to see if he will see the Yad Hashem where it is easily hidden. So that's what hest upon him is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides his face. Shichacha is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, is on a much, when a person is on a lower madriga, and the reaction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you want to forget about me? Fine, I'll forget about you. See how you cope in a world which is based totally on chance and luck and the spin of the wheel, and see how you cope. I'm going to hide my face from you. Shichacha, says the Malbim, is much worse than hest upon him. Because with hest upon him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps a connection with the person. He keeps the connection. He might well need to punish him, but it'll punish him in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides his face, and the person might well think, oh, it's nothing else. You know, I just happened to be walking along the road and walking along the pavement and I just happened to trip up, exactly. And it's all natural, it happens all the time to everyone all over the world. Yeah. Where shichacha is much worse, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm just going to leave you to your own devices. I'm not going to do you any good, and I'm also not going to do you any harm. In other words, it's a withdrawal of hashgacha pratis, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's individual attention to every single person. Says the Malbim, this is much worse. And Adon Hashem tishkachin inetzach shichacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves you to your own devices, see how you cope. And the Malbim continues this theme throughout the rest of the chapter, and we'll see a few cases how it connects to other specific names in the chapter. Shichacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves us to our own devices, neither good nor bad. You're on your own, sonny. That's really what shichacha is. Whereas hest upon him is HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides his face, he will involve himself, he does punish us, but in a manner that we might mistake for being just accidental or natural. Yeah. Now there's a very strange piece of chidah on this whole chapter, and the chidah, Reb Chaim Yosef Zalman Azulai, wrote a pirush on Tehillim, and I have to thank my son for this because he pointed me in the right direction. Yaakov Chaim told me about the sefer, and I've now obtained the sefer. he started photocopying the sefer at great expense. I said, no, don't do that. He borrowed it and started photocopying like one chapter at a time. It is cheaper to buy it, of course. And it's lovely to be able to learn from it. The Chizor has a whole theme on this chapter, and there's not a lot that I understood, but I'll just tell you his theme on this chapter. He says this whole chapter is all about, you'll never guess, Purim. All about Purim. Yeah. And he's got lots of connections, most of which I couldn't understand. But he starts off, he says, it's chapter 13. 13th of Adar was the day of the war against Haman and his cronies. Yeah, it was on the 13th of Adar. Shlosha Asar Yom Bo, on the 13th day of Adar. Yeah. So he says that's why it's put here in chapter 13. And he says, and of course Hestaponim, we already learned last week how Hestaponim is Golas Modai, Esther, and the name of Hashem is not in the Megillah, so it's all hidden from us. So that's again a connection with the story of Purim. And he quotes as well, he quotes a Medrash Shochetov, which is over here. And the Medrash, and again, I'll say over this Medrash Shochetov, although I must admit I don't fully understand it. The Medrash Shochetov says as follows. It relates to the next pasuk. We'll do it with the next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Adona Oshis Eitzos Benashi. How long will I need to put advice on my soul? Where David is saying, for how long will I need to go on dreaming up plans to save myself? And it seems to be this Medrash Shochetov is on the word Eitzos, which comes from the word Eitz, meaning wood. And he says it's a reference to Haman. Why? Achar puts the pasuk in Megillas Esther. Chapter Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. Achar Hadvoim Ha'ele, after these matters, Gidal HaMelech HaChashveish Es Haman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaChashveish exalted Haman, Ben Amadosu, HaGogi, by Nasehu, and he exalted him. So the Medrash here, Shechatot, says, Omer Yaakov, Ad Heichon Gidlo, how far, to what extent did HaChashveish raise up Haman? And the answer is, Ad, until 8 shall chamishim amah, to the extent of 50 amas high, the gallows, the wooden gallows that he had. So Achashverosh exalts Haman, to what extent? Right the way up to his end, which is 50 amas from the top. There. Yeah, he's getting there, that's right. This Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh is getting to the extent where he's going to be so great, he's going to be 50 amas greater than anyone else, i.e. he's going to be hanged 50 amas high. And it's and eight seems to be the key word here. Eight, because of the word eight says. And then the pasuk says, "Vayatzmis kiso," that Achashverosh placed Haman's throne or Haman's chair, me'al kol asama shirito, above all the other officers who were with him. So the Medrash Shochetov says on this. What's this word? Me'al kol hasarim. Kol is gematria 50. There's that 50 amas high. Me'al kol hasarim. He's going to be 50 amas above all the other princes. Kol, from that word kol. Me'al kol hasarim. So it seems to be. So again, there's another connection to Purim, and the Chidor draws from that Medrash Shochetov, that the connection to Purim, that this whole chapter is connected to Purim. Yeah.
Trouble is an interpretation like that. Miles away from what we've been learning until now.
Absolutely. That's how we have it. There are many others which are also equidistant. That's the nature. There's so many different pshatim on the psukim. Yeah. Now here's another pshat which I just saw this morning. Just after 6 o'clock this morning, I saw there's a sefer which is upstairs in the yeshiva called Ne'im Zemiras Yisrael. It's a very modern sefer, and it's really a likut of other svarim. You once said to me how many new svarim are just likutim from other svarim. It's been written about the 1950s or 1940s, and I'm not mistaken, it was written by a Rav Charlap, who is a Talmud of Rav Kook. And he's put together a sefer tefillin, which is largely culled from other svarim. So he quotes from a pirush called from Rabbi Yabi. Rabbi Yabi, it's spelled Yud Yud Beis Yud. And here's a pshat which is miles away from anything else. And it hones in on this phrase which comes four times, Ad Ono. Adona, all the time Adona. So he says as follows, whole new pshat. He says the word ad, of course, it is taking it away from posh pshat. There's no longer posh pshat, of course. He says the word ad means wealth. And he quotes it from the Pasuk in Bereishis, chapter 9, Tes Pasuk of Zayin, Parshas Achi, it's one of your sections, isn't it? Parshas Achi, on the bracha for Binyamin, where the Pasuk says, Binyamin Zev Yitroth, Baboker Yochal Ad. In the morning, Binyamin is like this wolf that will rip its prey apart and will eat its prey. And the word Ad means prey. The animal which will eat its prey. And it's a reference to Shaul, who of course came from the tribe of Binyamin, who initially was very successful in his battles, and Baboker Yochal Ad, in his early part of his career, Yochal Ad, he'll have a great success. So the word Ad is a reference to wealth. Then he says, the word Onor, Ad Onor, again taking it way out of Poshup Shat, comes from the word Enor. And the word Enor, he quotes it from beginning of Mishpatim, chapter Kafalas Pasuk Yud Gimel, which speaks about an accidental death. Where the Pasuk says,
handle of the axe
flies off. Yeah, like those cases. V'asher lo tzada, where death was caused not premeditated, v'elokim inor liyodo, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu engineered it should happen liyodo into his hand. Nebuch had an accidental case. And the Pasuk goes on to say that the Samtibach HaMokem HaShe Yomel Shoma, Hashem says, I will set up a place where the accidental murderer can run to him, because the Yomiklot. So he says, ad means wealth. Onor, coming from the same word, same letters as enor, means predestined or organized or engineered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says as follows, ad onor Hashem tishkocheni netzach. He says, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu lands wealth into a person's lap, ad, wealth, onor, engineered by Kodesh Baruch Hu into a person's hand or into a person's lap, it carries a dangerous risk. And what's the risk? Tishkocheni netzach. HaKodesh Baruch Hu could, chas v'shalom, end up forgetting about the person. Why? Because HaKodesh Baruch Hu says, he doesn't need me anymore. I've given him in his wealth. He's set up for life now. He doesn't need anything more from me. And HaKodesh Baruch Hu looks at him, writes him out of the story, writes him out of the picture, because he's out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind. Why? Because he's well settled. And when that happens, likewise, you can have the exact the converse effect, namely that the person forgets about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've got enough money, I don't need to dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, and he quotes a pasuk in Koheles, and I didn't write down the reference, Osher Shomer Liva'olav L'Ra'aso, Osher Shomer Liva'olav, where the wealth is guarded for a person, but it's L'Ra'aso, it's for his ultimate bad. He says that a poor person is driven to davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a daily basis for his daily needs. And that's great, because it keeps a connection between the poor person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The wealthy person runs a high risk of forgetting about Hashem and Hashem forgetting about him. And that's how he learns up this pasuk. A beautiful remez. Ad ona Hashem tishkocheni netzach. Ad meaning wealth, and ona, same meaning as ina, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares wealth for a person. Good. And that is it for pasuk base. We've done two
pasuk. So wealth can be a curse.
Of course, yes. You see that in that pasuk.
It doesn't come out of Hashem anymore.
Yeah, it can be. It can be. Osher shomer liver olav l'ra'aso. Wealth can be a bracha, wealth can be a curse. Mm-hmm. Poverty can be a bracha, poverty can be a curse. And whatever it is, every single one of these statuses is a nisoyan. How about that?
They work up their hands.
Who's that?
The wealthy worship the work of their hands. So this is over the Zara. Really? So that's what it comes into.
Because they think they ignore HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
He just forgets about them.
Yes.
They're in gods.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's right. Good. Pasuk Gimel. Ad Ono Oshis. Let me get that page first. Right. As on a Oshis eight Fisbanashi, how long will I go on having to set advice for my life or for my soul? In other words, how long will I need to solve my own problems? Yogan Belavavi Yomam, there is sadness or pain or distress, Belavavi in my heart, Yomam Jumete. As Anna, and for how long, Yoram Ovi Allah, will my enemy be exalted over me? Oh. So the Ibn Ezra explains that this pasuk really is a series of causes and effects. And he says, you really need to understand the pasuk from the last part of the pasuk backwards through to the first part of the pasuk. In other words, the main thing is, as Anna, Yoram Ovi Allah, my enemy is exalted over me. As a result of that, there is yogun v'levavi yomam. There is sadness in my heart during the day. And as a result of that, oshis eitzis v'nashi, I need to solve my own problems. I need to set my advice. So he says, if you read the pasuk from the beginning to the end, it's, I need to solve my own problems because there is sadness in my heart during the day, because the enemy, my enemy is exalted over me. That's how the Ibn Ezra learns the pshat. Yeah. The Mitzvot David says, yeah, similar, because there's yogun in my heart, because there's sadness in my heart all day long, therefore I need to sort out my own problems. I don't know what she says. Yeah, very similar pshat. Okay. Yeah. The Yalk Shimoni. Is that clever of me? I took the bookmark out before. Okay. The Yalk Shimoni quotes, says that this Ad Ona Oshis Eitzos Benafshi, how long will I need to go on solving my own problems, is an expression of defiance against our enemies. David HaMelech, and speaking on behalf of all Klal Yisrael, says when we've been oppressed, when we as a nation are oppressed by our enemies, we have stood up to them, and Oshis Eitzos, we have defiantly kept the Torah. We've taken the Eitzos, maybe it means we've taken the Eitzos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the sake of our own nefashos, for the sake of our own souls. And he says it's in particular two mitzvahs, we have kept two mitzvahs in the face of oppression from our enemies. And those two mitzvahs are Bris Milah and Shabbos. And in this Oshis Eitzos, the Yalkut Shimoni explains is I've been particular to keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs despite being oppressed by our enemies. Yeah. The Yalkut Miamleis brings a beautiful pshat on this, which I also saw in another sefer, and I didn't write down the name of it. The Alkan Amir says, calls it V'derech Tzachus. Derech Tzachus means like almost a remez or a hint. He says it's not the main pshat, but there's a hint to it in the pasuk. And what's that? How long will I need to go on solving my own problems? You know how long? I'm sorry, I got that wrong. Once again. How long is there yogun bilvavi yomam? How long will there be sadness in my heart? As long as oshis eitzes benafshi, as long as I'm trying to solve my own problems. The moment I turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my solution, then I will no longer have yogun bilvavi yomam. Is that a nice chat? The two go together. As long as I feel I'm in charge of my own problems and I'm capable of solving them myself without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, thank you very much, then yogun bilvavi yomam will continue. But the moment I actually realize that I can solve that I can turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I'm not going to solve them myself without his help, then there will no longer be yogun bilvavi yomam. That's how the Akanan is learned. Yeah. The Radak learns Yogun Bilvavi Yomam is an extreme expression. He says there is sadness in my heart Yomam even during the day. Why even during the day? Says the Radak, normally, when will a person's problems prey on his mind? At night time, he goes to sleep, maybe he's restless, the problems prey on his mind, and the problems go buzzing around his head, and he can't sleep. But during the daytime, he's busy, he's working, he's having a panosa, he's going out, he's doing things, he's seeing people, he's meeting people, he's in different situations. It's only when he's in solitude and he's sleeping that suddenly and the world is shut out from his actions, then his worries can plague him. Says David HaMelech here, I'm in a much worse situation. There is yogim bilvavi, there's sadness in my heart, even yomam, even during the day. In other words, yeah, that's how the Radak learns it. Now, the Malbim, you remember that the Malbim has his pshat, that we have these two different punishments. We've got Shechacha, going back to the base, we've got Shechacha, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally cuts us out, and we've got Hester Bonim, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not cut us out, but deals with us in a way that we might easily mistake as accidental or... Thank you, I was just thinking that word, Kortiotis. Yeah. Says the Malbim, we have in our Pasuk, we have a reference to it as well. Ad ona oshis eitzis benafshi. Nafshi, he says, is my inner self, is my inner soul. Now, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu really acts with a person with the middah of shichacha, I'm forgetting about you, you're on your own, it's all down to the luck of the draw, the spin of the wheel, I'm not going to do good to you and I'm not going to do bad to you, you're going to be, you'll be buffeted by the world's events, by the world's currents, and I'm not going to get involved. He says then, says the Malbim, even when things go well, the person won't feel any bad, but the nefesh, the inner self, will. Why? Because the inner self knows it's because I've been cut out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's just down to the luck of the draw, and it so happens that things are going well, but the fact is I'm still out of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's picture. So the Malbim says the first expression of Ad Ono Oshis Eitzes Benafshi is a reference to the Midah of Shichacha, Ad Ono Hashem Tishkachini Netzach, where the nefesh feels bad even when things go well. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgotten about me. Whereas the second expression of Yogam B'Levavi Yomam, he relates that to... Mistake. Both of those expressions. Adama Oshitetis B'Nafshi is my nefesh will feel cut off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when things go well. And things going well is represented by the word yomam, during the day. Day is light, is bright, is good. Laila would be darkness and evil and bad. Whereas yogam bevavi yomam, I even feel bad even when things are going well. Yomam, represented by yom. Why? Why does what feels bad? My guf doesn't feel bad. It's my nefesh feels bad. My inner self, the spiritual self, feels bad. Why? Because I'm cut off from that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's left me to the vicissitudes of life.
What are the difficulties of that? Is Hashem renews everything every minute, every second, and that without that everything would revert to nothingness? How can it be a concept of Hashem forgetting you? You're depending on your existence by the renewal every second of your life.
I can't answer that. I've no idea. The whole idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgetting a person is in any case difficult, because we know we say it's on Rosh Hashanah, darling, there's no forgetting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgets nothing and forgets no one. It's beyond me. I don't know.
Perhaps it's not forgetting. Perhaps it's the Hashem will leave you to your devices so you will learn, because the Hashem wants to teshuva. That's what he wants. He doesn't want to punish anyone. He wants the person's teshuva.
Yes.
So if he leaves you to your devices, you'll come around to the senses. And that's why you're seeing here the person nefesh is buried, because he knows he depends on Hashem for his very life.
This is how the Malbim is learning. Correct. That's how the Malbim is learning. That it's my nefesh that will react to being cut off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm cut off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, things might go well, but it's in my life. And therefore the guf won't feel it, but the nefesh will.
Well, the neshama, you mean.
Nefesh and neshama. Gosh, what's the difference between nefesh and neshama? I don't know. Whereas the second half of the Malbim, there's the second half, Ono Yoram Ovi Aloi, he says, that's why I'm being punished by enemies. being punished by enemies is not shichacha. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu cutting me out. It's Hester upon him. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending me punishments via enemies. Of course, I might ascribe those enemies to being political issues rather than the Yad Hashem. That's what Hester upon him is all about. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu still sends enemies, and that's Hester upon him. So the Malbim, with his theme on the chapter, taking Shichacha and Hester upon him as the two themes of the chapter, learns that Pasuk Gimel reflects those themes. First half of the Pasuk, Adonai Osher Sitzes V'Nashi Yagam Uvavi Yomor, is when things are going well, but Hashem has forgotten about me, my nefesh feels the pain. Whereas the second half, Adonai Yorim Ovi Aloi, is Hester upon him, where I'm being attacked by enemies, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is simply hiding his face from me.
That's a term, right? It would be to ignore me. His face from me.
Yeah. Well, turning his face is Hester upon him, really.
No, hiding.
Okay, yeah.
Not hiding.
Maybe that's how we should be translating Shichacha.
It's
really difficult. Yeah, it is difficult.
If you can, it means forget.
Yeah.
Shichacha.
Yeah. And forgetting is a human middah, but. Okay, now, I have this wonderful paper here which was given to me by. A wonderful man called Rabbi Solmesher Grunwald, who's a Rebbe in Pada's house. He once did him a very small favor, and he amazed me by giving me this wonderful sefer. I really didn't deserve it. And he quotes a medrash which is in the Agados Bereishis, Lamed based Aleph. I haven't got the sefer, one of the Medrashim, where Klal Yisrael turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they say, how long are you going to allow the nations to rule over us, and how long are we going to be enslaved by all the nations? Exactly as David says in our Pasuk, Ono Yorum Ovi Aloi, how long will my enemy be exalted over me? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to this question of David is, it's down to you, it's entirely up to you. If you do teshuvah, then I'll destroy them. I'll destroy the enemies. And he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, chapter Pei Aleph, pasuk Yud Dalad and Tesvot. Let me get this pasuk. Oh, I know it's not in this one. It's in the other one. Yeah, here it is. Chapter Pei Dalad, pasuk Ches. Pei Dalad Ches. No, sorry, mistake. That is the wrong reference. Sorry, this note here, it's Pei Aleph Pasuk Yud Dalet. Tell him Pei Aleph Yud Dalet. Lu Ami Shemeli, of course we say this in Davening. Lu Ami Shemeli, if only my people would listen to me, Yisob B'Tocha Yalech, if clients who would go my ways, then Kimata Ezeh Machmiya, I will immediately subdue their enemies, I'll Tzareh Mosh of Yodhi, and I'll turn my hand towards their oppressors. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you want to know, Ad Ono Yorim Ozi Oloi, you want to know how long your enemies are going to be exalted over you? I'll tell you how long, down to you. If you start listening to me, I'll get rid of the enemies. So Klal Yisrael responds, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, if you do that, if you were to destroy all our enemies, then we will immediately praise you. Shenema, in the Pasuk at the end of Baruch Nashi, chapter Kuftalad, Pasuk Lamed, hey, Yitamu Chatom in Ores, when those sinners are destroyed from the land, Rishon Meodonim, and they're no more Rishon, then Baruch Nashi Hashem Halleluka, then my soul will bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's like another conversation here. David says, how long are the enemy going to be over us? And Hashem responds, I'll tell you how long, till you Klal Yisrael do teshuvah. And when they do, Hashem says, I'll destroy the enemies. Okay. The Meiri learns on this word Yomom. It's very interesting. You see, the word Yomom, it's almost like an extended form of the word Yom. Yom is day, Yomom. What does Yomom mean? And the Meiri says it means
24 hours.
More than that, he says daily. Every day, yom yom. Mm-hmm. Yes, on a daily basis, there is yoga and the sadness in my heart. Daily basis, yeah. Now, the Chidah, learning, we're talking all about Purim. Do you know, I'm just going to turn this over before it runs out. Yeah. The Chidah, learning all about Purim, looks at this word yorum. Ovi Aloi, my enemy will be exalted over me. He says, Rom, mm-hmm. exalted, Reish Mem, has the Gematria of 240. Same Gematria as Amalek. So that's because he learns the whole chapter is all about Purim. Amalek. Yeah, 240. Yeah, next time you catch a 240 bus. 240 Amalek. Yeah. Now, something so simple on this pasuk, I kicked myself for not noticing it myself, and I found it in a sefer called Beis Levi, not Beis Halevi, which is the Brisker Sforim, but Beis Levi on Tehillim. And he says very simply, he says the word oshis applies to two different phrases. Ad ono oshis, for how long will I need to set or place etzes v'nafshi, advice for my life? And also, ad ono oshis, for how long will I be placing yogam bilvavi yomam? How long is there going to be sadness in my heart? Will I be placing sadness on my heart on a daily basis? And all he points out is that the word oshis really pertains to both phrases, etzes benafshi, and also yogam bilvavi yomam. That's a simple thing, but I never noticed it. Yeah. Let's move on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yes, very interesting. In a sefer called Meir Tehillos, it's a sefer which my son Yaakov Chaim found in a second hand sale of Sforim. Is right up his street. He found a sefer called Meir Tehillos on Tehillim. He says, Daddy, you need this for your Tehillim share. So he quotes a pasuk, this idea of Oshis Eitzes Benashi, I need to look after my own needs. I need to solve my own problems. Oshis Eitzes Benashi. And he quotes a pasuk in Kisisa, the chapter Lama Dalad, pasuk Kaf Dalad, where the pasuk says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a lovely guarantee. He says, when you go to visit the Beis HaMikdash at Yom Tov time, don't worry, you can leave your homes, you can leave your close up shop, close up your home, and everything will be safe. V'lo yachmod ishes artzucha, no man will desire your land, but alosucha, when you go up leira osas b'nei Hashem lekecha, to be seen by the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalosh pamim b'shana, three times a year. So he says, this posuk is the opposite of our posuk. Our posuk is, I need to solve my own problems. Oshis Eitzes B'Nafshi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leaving me and I've got to sort things out myself. Whereas this pasuk in Kisisa is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, don't worry, you don't need to solve your own problems. Your homes will be safe, your lands will be safe. You can leave everything, go to the Beis HaMikdash at Yom Tov time, and everything will be safe. All he does is he points out that our pasuk is the antithesis of that. There we've got a guarantee. You won't need to solve your own problems. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm giving you a guarantee. You won't have a problem. Your homes will be safe, your shops will be safe. Whereas in our pasuk it's no, I have to solve my own problems. Yeah. Rav Kook, there's a sefer brought out on Tehillim by Mossad Rav Kook. There's a wonderful publishing house, and they, I don't even know what the name of the sefer is. It's the Mossad Rav Kook sefer on Tehillim, and they point out that, yeah, that's right. He says there that Ad Ono Oshis Eitzes Benashi is a reference to night time. When will I need to devise my solutions and to my problems? I'll do that at night. Oshis Eitzes Benashi is when I make up my mind in the night what I'm going to achieve the next day in solving my problems. But V'afal P'kein Yogan Bilvavi Yomam, my solutions come to nothing and I'm still left with problems during the day. Yeah? So the Oshis Eitzes Benashi is when a person is lying in bed. David HaMelech is lying in bed and he's sleeping and trying to sleep at night and he's trying to sort out his problems. And he'll do that at night time, but it's all to no avail. There is still Yogam Bilvavi Yomam. Now we spoke about the four times Ad Onah. Four times the word Ad Onah, and we spoke about the four Galuyos. There's another shat, very similar sort of shat, brought in the Sefer Ne'im Zemiris Yisrael, in the name of a Sefer called by Ibn Yahya. You heard of Ibn Yahya? No
fans.
That's very hardy. Yeah, for sure. Ibn Yahya, and he explains as follows. He says this Ad Onah represents four particular problems that David suffered when he was on the run from Shaul. What four problems? He says number one is a problem of knowledge. He couldn't learn Torah so easily. He was on the run, he couldn't learn Torah so easily. And on top of that, he was forced, as we mentioned earlier, out of Eretz Yisrael. And he says Eretz Yisrael gives a person an added chachma. So having to leave Eretz Yisrael and being on the run wouldn't have left David with as much time as he wanted for learning. So that's two things there. Leaving Eretz Yisrael is a problem, and not having much opportunity for learning is another problem. He says another problem is down to his own comfort, that he couldn't sleep properly. He's on the run, and he's in the mountains and in the valleys and in the forest, running away from Shaul, and so he couldn't sleep properly, and that's problem number three. And problem number four is because he was poverty stricken, therefore he was dependent on other people for financial support. That left David with these four issues of problems. He boils it down to these four issues, and he says each of these ad ono, four times ad ono, represents one of those four tzaris. Yeah.
Did David ever approach Shmuel with his problem? Because Shmuel was around until Shul was killed in battle.
Yes.
Just before, because he called upon Shul on his...
Shmuel anointed David. Yeah.
But didn't David ever find etzus from him, or...?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Seems strange.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because Shul was told he won't be king. He wasn't king, legitimately, he wasn't king.
Yeah.
And David's having a hard time.
I don't know. I don't remember learning that David ever went back to Shmuel for help. Yeah?
When did Shmuel die?
Died, don't know. He died young. He died at the age of 52.
Was it during the time that David was on the run?
It probably was. Because Shmuel anointed David.
Right.
And Shaul continued insisting that he should be the Melech. So that surely would have been during the lifetime of Shmuel.
When the Menucha was taken away from Shaul after the Maaser of Agag, is that when Shmuel appointed David?
Yes.
After that?
Yes.
Shaul remained alive, but full of hatred towards David, having taken the Menucha from him.
Yes.
But I mean, Shmuel told Shaul directly, the Ribbono Shel Olam has taken the Menucha.
Absolutely, but Shaul couldn't accept it. Clive Fearstone, who taught me so much Nach when I was a teenager, he said to me at the time, he said that don't forget that Shaul was an immense tzaddik. Yeah. And Shaul viewed David as a merit b'malchus. Yeah, Shaul couldn't accept that he was no longer the king. He felt that he was still the king. Now David is behaving and is treated as though he is the king. So Shaul viewed David, his own son-in-law, as a merit b'malchus, a traitor. Mm-hmm. Treason. If he's guilty of treason, there's a halacha. The person who's merit b'malchus is chayiv misa. And the chayiv misa does not need to be carried out by a beis din. The chayiv misa can be carried out by the king, with no edim, with no warning, hasra, on any of the Arba Misas based in. And so Shaul felt he was acting within the halacha to try to kill David. And
we don't find anywhere that when Shaul is told by Shmuel he's no longer the king, and he ripped his garments, he said, your kingdom is torn. After that point, there's not much any more reference to Shmuel. Maybe he died at that point, because he didn't want the king to be appointed in the first place. And he said, aren't I good enough? Haven't I done good things for you?
Yeah, possibly. I don't remember how much reference there is to Shmuel after appointing David as the Melech.
But Hashem, there was no point in having a prophet and a king at the same time in the same world.
Yeah, you're saying that Shmuel may have died very shortly after appointing David.
Yes,
it's possible. I don't know.
Yeah, but David was the son-in-law of Shaul, and he was a member of the court, the palace. But Shaul remained king, so David wasn't appointed. Shaul wasn't removed and David appointed.
No.
There were many years in which David was around when Shaul remained the king.
Absolutely. But David had really been anointed by then
to be the successor.
To take over where they immediately.
But happened. For years he wasn't.
That's right.
That was a strange point.
Because Saul wouldn't make way.
Well, Saul was a depressive by nature.
Absolutely.
And he wanted Dobby to play the lyre to comfort him and so on. And he was a great depressive. He wasn't a bad man.
No, he was a great
man. He was a good, good man. But his emotions overwhelming. I mean, his treatment of a guy, saving the guy, he meant well, was absolutely wrong. Wrong. Although he meant well. Good intentions. Can lead you the wrong way.
He meant well, no question. He meant well, and he kept the animals alive because he wanted
to win
the
Rachmanis. It was
misplaced Rachmanis. It was wrong.
But the
I have a safer at home. And I mention this in school whenever it comes up. Shaul gets a very bad press in Chazal. In Tanakh, Shaul gets a bad press that he failed in the war against Amalek. He didn't kill Agog, and he didn't kill the women, he didn't kill the animals. However, his reputation is saved by Chazal, and I have a sefer at home. It's quite a small sefer, but it is chock full of medrashim about Shaul. The sefer is called Shaul Bichir Hashem, and it's a sefer collected medrashim just about Shaul and what a great tzaddik he was and what an amazing man he was. But Nebuchadnezzar, he suffered from depression.
On the other side, Shaul went David, in order to earn the son-in-lawship, as it were. Shaul gave David the task of going out and bringing back the foreskins of so many Plishtim, 80 of them. Shaul said, he's not going to survive that. But he came back.
He's managed it.
A strange task he was given, but he came back with it. Shaul couldn't get rid of him.
Shaul's complaint against David was not that David was claiming to be king, and Shaul knew that from Shmuel. But he was complaint was that Jonathan, his son, wouldn't be king, because Shaul says to Jonathan, "You son of etc. etc. David will usurp the crown from you."
He wanted Jonathan to be king,
and the great friendship between Jonathan and David was such that it that was of no consequence.
Yeah.
Jonathan loved David so much that he didn't mind that he knew he was going to be king.
Yeah.
But that was Shaul's, he was continuing to be king, but the heir apparent was going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
That's why he was after David.
Yeah.
Not that God was treating himself like a king. He was the heir apparent.
Now I'm happy to carry on if you want.
Overwhelming.
Do you know what? I'll say one tiny thing, and then with that we'll finish Pasuk Gimel. Small thing from Rabbi Yosef Yaivitz, who points out this Yogam Bilvavi Yomam, pain in my heart during the day. Says why only during the day? And he says because Shaul only chased David during daytime. He left him alone at night. So
in those days, who could chase anybody?
Because there's no light.
There were no military battles.
So that's it for Pasuk Gimel. Good.
What's going to happen for part 3?
I think part 3 will go to part 4 or 5.
Will you do it for something?